America and all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I, of course, am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always is Filippo Dinolfo, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Sologi. Say hi, guys.
Hello.
Hey. Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, so that government shutdown is still happening.
It's still a thing. The longer it goes, I think the worse it actually gets for the people that started it.
Exponentially, I believe it's going to be.
Oh, yeah. And we got some stuff to talk about because of that stupid shutdown. Because right now, a good 500,000 people are currently out of work. And if they are working, they're being asked to work without pay. It's basically one long temper tantrum that the current POTUS is having. And we'll be talking more about it. He also, by the way, we had kind of a massive bombshell that landed late last night. And we'll be talking about that one, too.
Yeah.
It actually was such a big bombshell that it actually caused Mueller's people to actually comment.
Yeah.
Which he doesn't do. They are claiming that there are parts of the story that are inaccurate, but it's really thick in lawyer speak, so exactly what part is inaccurate, we don't know. But other than that, we got other stuff. The Brexit shit in the UK is still going on, and holy shit, the current Prime Minister, Theresa May, she is pretty much at the end, near the end of her career at this point. She managed to survive a second no-confidence vote earlier this week, but she only managed to survive it by 10 votes from a niche Ulster Unionist party from Northern Ireland. So
what's that saying? Third time's a charm?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And on top of that, we got some funny stuff. We got stuff, entertainment stuff, Netflix. Rooster Teeth, the people who brought you Ruby, they've got a new project coming out, and they released a trailer for it. We'll be talking all about that. Also, some other movie trailers, some stuff from Netflix. Walmart people. Not the people who work there, but the people who shop there. We're going to talk about it.
Hashtag bucket list.
Mm-hmm. All that and more on today's edition of Let's Week. So, this show is January 18th, 2019. And as always, we'll start with Phil. Phil, what have you been up to this week?
So, it's been pretty similar to what I've been doing last week. Tetris Effect, Defense Grid, Soul Calibur 6, that kind of stuff as far as gaming goes. Started a new Doom project, so basically learning an entirely new source port for Doom, so that's going to be fun. Yeah, I'm liking what I'm seeing so far, because it's basically got all the features that I was using in that other port that we worked on, but it's laid out in such a way that it actually makes sense. So that's usually helpful. So I've been working on that. And then, of course, you know, getting over that whole cold and stuff like... Living in Canada is great, especially when you're buried in snow. So that's my week. nothing too special to report on over here.
All right.
What about you? The Punisher season 2 started today. So yeah, start watching that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Pat, what about you?
I've been digging out some snow too. Mostly I've been wading through it because after it came down, we got dumped on by torrential rain. So there's basically a mud slurpee all down my driveway. That I have to navigate in order to go pretty much anywhere. So that's been entertaining, and I found out my shoes leak. So
I found that a flamethrower is very good for snow removal. Putting that out there.
Weed removal too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Other than that, I went over to sci-fi.com and checked out the pilot for Deadly Class. Mm-hmm. Which is an adaptation of a graphic novel series by Rick Remender. Mm-hmm. And so far I am hooked. The job of a pilot episode is to get you to invest in a concept out of one episode. And it certainly does that. Mm. I was I was given the pitch of Harry Potter, but with assassins, and that's basically what this is. And I'm in it for the long haul. They've done a great job with it, and the casting is spectacular.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That sounds kind of cool.
I left a link to the first episode in the show notes.
Alrighty. All right, then, Teresa, what about you?
Not watching Deadly Class because it doesn't like my ad blocker, so I'm finding another way to do that.
Yeah, I had to disable uBlock Origin for sci-fi.com.
Probably what I need to do, but today I'm all about privacy, so I didn't want to do it. So it's probably going on Plex. I've been playing Kingdom Two Crowns too much. Still great. Love the couch co-op. Got back into Final Fantasy 14.
Yes.
Yep. Finishing off Octopath Traveler. God damn.
Right?
Huh?
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I was working on some of the equipment and stuff. And it's the second tier shrines that are getting me. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a bit of a, ooh, man, that's rough.
Yeah, you're going to start wanting to do sub jobs right about now.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking, because I'm not getting it without the sub jobs. So, and I've got them all unlocked, so I might as well just go gear up and everything. It's just a matter of getting my hands on the Switch, which is currently in high demand in our house. I watched the latest Family Guy episode, Trump Guy. Did you guys watch that yet?
I want to. I have not seen it yet.
It's on Hulu. I've watched it twice. Yes, please. It was great. It's like, if you take a shot every time they take a shot, you won't make it to the first commercial.
You'll want to, you know, do this with beer and not, you know, whiskey or vodka, because you'll probably die.
Yeah, probably. But they were spot fucking on the entire time.
Yep.
So, yeah, that one is great. But other than that, I somehow stumbled upon Letterkenny after watching Trump Guy. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm done with season three already. Like in the first 2 minutes, I knew that I was in, Scott's in, my brother's in, we're all watching it. I don't know how we missed it, but I'm glad that we found it. So it's been pretty good. And yeah, I definitely noticed that their season three, which was winter, you know, they had real snow. there was no Hollywood snow. So it was kind of cool. And I've been snorting saline because this winter is really harsh for some reason. I don't understand. I think it's the erratic temperatures.
Yeah, we've been getting that too. It's been going from like 60 something down to 40.
Yeah. Yeah, I bought a humidifier this year, and I got the good old saline spray, and it's going right up the nose because it's like a desert in my sinuses. It's driving me crazy. But that's pretty much it. How about you?
All right, Chris, what about you?
I'm getting ready to get buried in snow tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're looking at, like, the current forecast is 6 to 9 inches. Wind gusts about 35 miles an hour. And yeah, mostly tomorrow afternoon and evening, which is when I also have to work. So I have to be driving around in that. So that's not going to be fun.
Did you say 6 to 9 inches or 69 inches?
It could go either way.
This is Ohio we're talking about, so.
Yeah. Yeah, the forecast was 9 to 12 yesterday, which it's always tough to predict this sort of stuff, especially when you're near the Great Lakes.
Well, especially when the NOAA is shut down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there are certain parts that are still active because they need them for flight stuff.
But a lot of them have gotten to a point now where they just don't give a fuck anymore.
Yeah.
That's why you can, you know, walk into airports now and hear them, you know, blaring fucking NWA over the goddamn loudspeakers, completely uncensored, might I add.
Yeah, and I think we're also looking at some freezing temps as well, so it's a triple threat there. Cold temps, lots of wind, and tons of snow. So
yeah, it's going to be bitter cold tomorrow, maybe Monday for you then?
Yeah, but I'll be off, so I don't care.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I got to work tomorrow, and I get a couple days off, so that'll be good. I've been watching a lot of Netflix this week. There's the Taylor Swift concert that's on there. Mm-hmm. That was actually pretty good. I think it was the final stop on her most recent tour, I think in Dallas, which there's a lot of production that goes on with that thing. They have like a weird snake that rides around, a giant snake. Okay. The stage is kind of an X shape. So there's two screens sort of pointed in different directions with like catwalks kind of going on in X. And she does a lot of cool stuff there. It kind of shows that the concert stuff can actually work really well for Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope there's another really good one on there that you probably might want to check out. There's the Bruce Springsteen Broadway show that he did.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That just closed, so yeah, you can watch it on Netflix, and it is really good.
Okay, yeah. That's definitely something I would not go to because it'd be all 60, 70-year-old people.
Yeah.
That's very much a show that's made for the old people.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I also found out Conan Without Borders is on Netflix.
Yep.
That's Conan's travelogue kind of show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it has 6 episodes, essentially. And it's like all the little video bits they recorded for, Cuba, Korea, Mexico, Israel, Haiti, and Italy.
Yep.
So Italy one is great because it's all about, I guess like an annual trip that producer Jordan Schlansky does every year.
Yeah.
And he's a guy from Buffalo, New York, who thinks he's Italian. speaks Italian for much of this little special, and Conan goes along with him and also shits on him a lot.
Yep.
Especially when they go to like the vineyard, like his favorite vineyard, and they're tasting wine, and he insists on like swishing the wine while the glass is on the table. Yep. So it's scraping on the table, making lots of noise, and Conan just talks about how he wants to kill him. The Haiti one's good because it happened after the shithole comments that Trump made.
Yep.
And so he talks a lot to people sort of as a, not really a liaison, but kind of like bringing the reasonable American viewpoint to Haiti and just learning from the people there.
Yeah.
The Mexico one was good because also Trump related.
Mm-hmm.
But common thing he did in a number of these places, he's appeared on like soap operas, local soap operas. I guess to be like a ridiculous guy / love interest in them, which the one for Korea is pretty good. That's if you have not seen that stuff either on their YouTube or just want to see like all the little bits, because there's a good bit for the Haiti one where there's a guy that just goes on a long rant. And they show you the entire thing at the very end. And it's pretty good. Yeah. Let's see what else I watched. Started watching Carmen Sandiego. That is out. And the first couple I watched, in episode 2, which is still sort of, the origin story for, Carmen, where you're learning sort of how she grew up and kind of got to where she was,
mm-hmm.
As a thief who steals from thieves.
And she's Sly Cooper, basically.
Yeah, but she's not stealing back like her family's heirlooms, essentially. But yeah, the art style is really nice. And it's been good so far. I would say the art style kind of reminds me of like the original Star Wars Clone Wars show. That kind of 2D animation.
Yeah.
And definitely watch that. And also been watching more Mystery Science Theater 3000 of the first return season, which had some good episodes. There's Star Crash, which is a Star Wars ripoff. Features, I guess, David Hasselhoff. I didn't even know that he was in there. And Christopher Plummer.
Yeah.
There's Beast of Hollow Mountain, which is like a weird movie about a a guy from Texas going down to Mexico to run a ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And the local town is not happy about him. And then there's this whole thing about a beast, which they don't show until like the very end. And it's a fucking dinosaur, a claymation dinosaur.
Of course.
Yeah, which really just sticks out. As like, really? This is the beast? Is the dinosaur somehow? Dinosaur just hangs out here? Yeah, there's just some more good stuff there. And that's kind of my Netflix part of the week. I've also been kind of digging into some of my holiday sale purchases from PSN, and one of the games I got is Taiko no Tatsujin, the new game for PS4,
mm-hmm.
which it's a bit of a – it's not as good as it could be because they did not release the drum controller over here. I believe you can still import it. It's just a USB controller essentially. So I've been playing it with the controller, which isn't great, but it works well enough. But they have some really neat songs on there that I was not expecting. They have the pen pineapple apple pen song on there.
Yeah.
God damn it.
That may well never die.
Unfortunately.
But it's a pretty good song for that game. They got Baby Metal in there.
Of course.
Gimme Chocolate. They got the Japanese versions of Let It Go from Frozen.
Oh.
And there's one from, I forget what the other Disney movie is, Zootopia.
Yeah.
There's a Japanese version of a song from that as well, which both sounded pretty good for mm-hmm. being sort of localized. And what else is there? There's a bunch of anime themes on there. There's, I think, the Dragon Ball Super one, One Piece, like a bunch of stuff that obviously Namco has licenses to that they make games on. So there's like Attack on Titan and a bunch of others like that. I think Headshala is in there. I have not unlocked it yet. But also there is, I was trying to think what else there is. There's just a bunch of random Japanese stuff. They don't do a good job of, like, explaining, like, where, like, who made these songs or anything like that. So I have to, like, Google a lot of stuff. So there's, like, a song called RPG. It's like, what the fuck is this song? They also have a lot of, like, what they call Namco originals, which I don't really know what those, like, who made those or whatever. They just show you a lot of times the titles. That's it. Which is not great, but
Konami did a lot of original stuff for DDR back in the day, so it's probably that sort of thing.
Yeah, I also have Vocaloids, so there's some Hatsune Miku stuff in there, and a couple others. That's a lot of weird, just a lot of weird categories I was not expecting. But yeah, it also has multiplayer.
Yep.
Online multiplayer stuff, which I think is just Ghost multiplayer. You play against other people's attempts at this stuff. But yeah, for the most part, it's good. It's just an unfortunate way of playing it. Kind of like if you got Rock Band and they said, hey, here's an Xbox 360 controller. Go ahead and enjoy it. Yeah. Like, well, this will be okay just purely on the music, but it's not the ideal way to play it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's been kind of it. How about you, Brandon?
Yeah, so first things first, I went out to GameStop because, you know, I'd finished Just Cause 4 and a bunch of other stuff. So I went and I had some, you know, some store credit to get rid of. And also, you know, I wanted to go and pre-order Kingdom Hearts 3 because, you know, that comes out next week. No, actually, week after next.
Yep.
Yeah. Holy crap, I can't believe it's almost that close now. I've been waiting for that game for over 10 years. but since it was there and I had heard such good things from Chris, I decided I would go and get the Switch version of Starlink. So yeah. I've been playing Starlink. And damn it if it's not great. I am legitimately surprised that this game has gotten so... hasn't gotten as much as much attention as it should, because it's a damn good game.
Yeah.
It is very much like the Star Fox game we should have gotten. Even though, you know, Star Fox is only ancillary to this and completely absent in the non-Switch versions of the game. Which, frankly, I'm thinking if you're going to get the Switch version, because you're missing out on a whole part of the game if you don't.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's basically, it actually does remind me a lot of kind of like what No Man's Sky was supposed to be to a certain extent, only it doesn't suck. So, you know, it's, you know, there's all that stuff going around to different planets, exploring, you know, and basically because at the same time you're trying to build up this sort of resistance army, fight against these guys called the Legion. And their leader, Grak, or Graz, or whatever he's supposed to be called. You're basically going planet to planet, and you're building armories, observatories, workshops, stuff like that, to sort of build up resistance armies on each part of these planets, while at the same time going about collecting resources, defending territory, occasionally taking down giant bosses and stuff. It's really good stuff. And the best part is that, you know, the game does sort of have like a toys to life aspect, but it's optional. You don't really have to like go out and spend money on stuff. You can basically, a lot of that stuff you can just buy digitally in the Nintendo store. And it's for pretty, you know, low prices too. And yeah. I'm pretty sure you can pretty much go through much of the game without really needing to buy anything. Though it does sort of ramp up the difficulty on certain aspects. But yeah, other than that, I've been playing Rocksmith still with my guitar and stuff. And I don't know if I emphasized this enough last time, so I'm going to emphasize it here. Do not neglect those arcade games that come with it, because those really do help. They really do help you get used to like certain aspects of playing guitar that can be kind of difficult to learn when you're starting out. Stuff like, neck navigation, fret placement, fingering, slides and bends and stuff like that. Mutes, palm mutes, things like that. And it does it with all of these different games that are all specifically aimed at one specific kind of aspect. So, like, there's one game on there that is called Dux Redux, and it's basically teaching you how to navigate the neck with fret placement. There's another one called Scale Brothers, which teaches you scales, and basically it's just, it helps you sort of locate specific parts on the guitar neck to, you know, for strings to, you know, pluck, and it just, you know, it does it in such a way so that it becomes muscle memory. You know, it's even got a game that's specifically to help you learn chords. Because the idea is it's trying to get you to do this stuff enough times so that it sort of just becomes second nature. You know, like you don't even have to look down or think about it. You can just automatically find it. So again, if you are thinking about learning guitar, get this, and do not neglect the game portion of it, because those things are really good at helping you out. Let's see. Other than that, I'm doing a lot of my usual reading. I got a copy of Wandering Earth, which is Xi Jian Liu's short story collection. And yeah, pretty much every story is about as crazy and out there as his full-length novels are. Real brain-breaking shit. I also got a copy of John Scalzi's The Consuming Fire, which is the sequel to The Collapsing Empire. I just started it last night, so not much to report there. And as far as like my education, I am now in the last third of where I need to be. So I'm probably going to be finished before June.
Nice.
Yeah. Yep. A little ahead of schedule.
Good shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it helps that, you know, there's like a bunch of like online resources and stuff that can help you out when you're in like a, when you really need help. But also, you know, it comes to the point that, you know, it's at its essence, all this really is, you know, looking for a particular index point in a book. I mean, they can get really specific at times, but that's about the extent of it. And when I started out, I really, my brain kept wanting to overcomplicate it to think like, no, surely, you know, like it's, but it's not, it's really not terribly difficult to learn. Just, it's mostly just being able to go through certain things that, you know, aren't immediately apparent if you're very literal minded. So, but other than that, yeah, that's pretty much it. Anybody got anything else they want to add before we move on? All right.
Winner.
Yeah. All righty then. Well, then it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. So, how many of you guys, when you were in high school or college, you took like an art class, like a history of art? You didn't? Yeah. Well, neither did I. So that goes out the door. But anyway. Okay, so how many of you remember an old, have heard of a classical artist by the name of Francisco Goya?
Yeah.
He was a Spanish artist. He worked during the late 17th and 18th centuries. He was, and early 19th, he died in the early 19th. He was known for, you know, various paintings, perhaps amongst others. He's famous for what's believed to have painted the first quote unquote profane life-size female nude in Western art. And by that I mean is that he painted the female nude without any pretense for like trying to make like a historical piece or religious allegory or anything like that. It was just a woman reclining lewd, you know. He's also the guy who's believed to – who produced an etching back in sometime between 1797 and 1799 of him asleep while he's being taunted by bats and owls. And the title basically produced the quote, which is, "The sleep of reason produces monsters," which I'm sure you've heard at least once or twice. But that's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about a specific group of paintings that he painted in the early 19th century, starting at around 1819 when he was age 72 years old. He had taken residence in a house called the Quinta del Sordo, also known as the Deaf Man's Villa. Now, Goya himself was deaf, but this house was named after the person who had lived in it before him. Now, at the time that these were painted, this was during sort of the turmoil that happened in Spain after the end of the Napoleonic Wars, and there was this intense power struggle within the Spanish government. There were uprisings and rebellions, and there was disease throughout the land. There was just overall a lot of panic, fear, hysteria. And in all of this sort of dark, sort of cynical mood, he proceeded to produce a series of 14 paintings that are now called the Black Paintings. So amongst these are probably some of his most famous works. Perhaps the one that most people recognize, probably the one that he's most infamous for, is this particular painting, and I'm sure you've seen this at least once or twice, known as Saturn Devouring His Son.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've seen this one before.
Yeah.
Now, if you just to sort of let you know what this painting is supposed to represent, it's from Greek myth. It's the story of the Titan Saturn, who, whenever one of his children were born, out of fear of the fact that they might usurp his power, he would eat them. He would eat them after they were born. Here's the thing. Okay, so obviously that's not the only painting. There was a bunch of others about different subjects. For example, there's one called Dueling with Cudgels, which is a painting of two men trying to beat the hell out of each other with sticks, like this right here. There's also, you know, more fantastical images like this one he did of the three of what's supposed to be the Fates. Also a thing from Greek myth you may have heard of. And then, of course, there's like stuff that's not quite as intense, but, you know, slightly ominous in just sort of their starkness, like this painting here, which is simply called The Dog. And for the record, all of these titles were not from Goya himself, because Goya actually painted these things mostly for himself. They were never meant to actually be seen publicly. He made sure of that because, here it comes, here's the factoid, he painted all of these on the walls of his house.
Huh.
That's pretty telling.
Oh, yeah. In fact, just to sort of to bring the point home, this is what's believed to be the layout, because once people discovered these after Goya died, of course, they started, you know, trying to transfer these to canvas. And there is supposedly from like the survey that was taken from like the landlord after Goya died. He mentions the number of paintings that are supposed to be on the first or second floor. The problem is that some of them aren't particularly known, like what they're supposed to, their placement. For example, this particular painting right here called Two Old Men Eating Soup. You'll notice that on the model that I got up there, it's hanging just over the door into the house. But it's also been said that it could have been over one of the windows in the second floor as well. But yeah, basically, this is the work of a deaf, angry, dying old man slowly going mad in his own house, painting this really dark, depressing shit on the walls of his house. Like, for example, this particular painting of a witch's Sabbath with Satan over there as a goat in shadow. And to wrap it all up, just to point this out, like I said, all of these paintings were painted on the walls of his house. That one, that first one I showed you,
mm-hmm.
the one called Saturn Devouring His Son. Yeah, he painted that one on the walls of the dining room.
Yeah, he was kind of losing it there, huh?
And that has been another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid.
That's metal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I think that last one of the Witch's Sabbath was actually a Candlemas album cover, but I can't.
It was.
Yeah.
I think it pretty sure it was. By the way, just to sort of show you like what a lot of these paintings look like in like their original state. Hold on. I need... Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the thing about these paintings you also kind of have to know is that you'll notice that there's like what looks like some bordering or wallpaper around them. That's because the walls around sometime either near the time Goya died or after he died, the walls were papered over. So you can take the guess what a shock it would be when somebody decided to renovate and they see this motherfucker staring out at you.
Nope, I'm out.
And that has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid. Okay. Oh, man. I love art shit like that. But all right, so now it's time to start the show proper. And as always, we have to start off with our asshole of the week. No, it isn't Donald Trump or the Trump administration. But the person is pretty much close to Satan. So it's Logan Paul, who said that, declared that as a challenge, he was going to, quote unquote, go gay for the month of March.
The fuck does that little sniveling shit mean by that?
Yeah, so I guess he's on a podcast with a friend of his. What's his name here? Mike Majlak. Majlak. I guess a podcast called Impulsive.
Yeah.
Where they're talking about their New Year's resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess January is a sober vegan January.
Mm-hmm.
February is fatal February, where they're going to go the opposite. Eat lots of steaks, drink vodka, and all that sort of stuff.
Yay, how most of us live our lives day to day. So
yeah, and I guess about March, I said, so you're going to be vegan and sober again. He said, what is it, male-only March? We're going to attempt to go gay for just 1 month. The other guy said, for 1 month, and then swing, and then go back. And, yeah, he tried to apologize on Twitter. Very poor choice of words, ... my fault. Let's get together and talk about it on my podcast next week. This is a retweet of GLAAD. GLAAD. For those who don't know. And lots of good responses on Twitter. Somebody said, sorry, we're full. When he's talking about going gay. yeah, lots of people are just angry, like treating being gay like a thing that you can just do instead of it being a thing that you just are.
Yeah, this guy's just a terrible person on pretty much every level.
He's a boil on the ass of humanity.
It's the one thing you might argue that Vine should not have gone down, because then he would have stayed on there.
Yeah. He could have been quarantined.
Yeah.
I got into the Google algorithm.
Yeah. And now we all have to suffer.
Mm. Yeah.
God, what a turd.
Yep.
His brother ain't much better either.
No.
Nope.
He just has the... he's smart enough to not do stupid shit that everybody finds out about.
Even though he does occasionally still do stupid shit that everybody finds about.
Yeah.
And also, their dad is a massive asshole because he instigates all this shit.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Imagine my shock.
Yeah, I assume he's there. They're his like meal ticket, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's enjoying their money and all that.
Yep. I've been told that apparently, like, working for Logan Paul, specifically in that fucking house with other people, is like being inducted into a cult, because you're basically have to put up with all his bullshit, and he like completely controls how everyone lives in that house.
Yeah, they're groupies.
Yeah. I have a feeling we're going to end up having a surviving Logan Paul special sometime in the future. Something on par with surviving R. Kelly.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of which, has anybody been watching that? Holy shit, that man is a monster. I mean, but the thing is that when watching that, you realize that the reason an asshole like him can get away with so much is because he has so many people around him who enable him.
Mm-hmm.
And a general community that defended him.
Yeah. And defending him now. There are still people defending him right now. You go on YouTube and watch some of that shit on YouTube, and you'll get assholes saying, I don't know what everybody's so mad about. It ain't like he made those girls stay there. Motherfucker. That ain't the point. Here's the point, and here are you, and you just completely missed it.
Yeah.
But anyway. And now for our heroes of the week. We got two of them, and they both have to do with good people who have stepped up to help out with all the folks who have been affected by this god-awful government shutdown. First of all, Canadian air traffic controllers have heard the plight of our good government workers down here, and so they have been sending pizzas down here to their U.S. counterparts.
That's pretty awesome.
Which is such a very Canadian thing to do.
Yeah, and I think some of them sent Hawaiian pizza to...
Specifically.
Control.
Yeah.
I think it's just tons of different kinds of pizza, but yeah, I think each of the different cities groups sort of bought pizza for a different city. Because, I think Montreal got for New York, or no, Boston. I think Toronto got some for Cleveland. What else? Winnipeg got some for Minneapolis, and a bunch of stuff like that.
Yeah, it's kind of weird if you look at these pairings. It's like they've actually like paired the Canadian and American versions of the same city. I'm not sure if that was intentional or if that's just worked out that way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just really awesome. And they aren't the only ones, because also this week, famous chef Jose Andre and his team stepped up, and they've been making meals for federal employees. He's making about something like 200,000 meals a day.
Yeah. So,
wow.
Yeah.
They set up a pop-up kitchen in Washington, D.C. To make meals, I think, from about 11 to 6 for any of the federal employees that come in for lunch or dinner that are unfortunately not getting paid for what they're doing right now.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a crazy turn of events after his work in Puerto Rico last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is his big thing, at least this year, as far as, like, helping people in need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's federal government employees.
Yeah. Last year, natural disaster. This year, man-made disaster.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I guess they're on the same street as the White House. Mm-hmm. Pennsylvania Avenue, so.
Damn, it's... I gotta tell you, the thing about stuff like this is it sucks when it happens, but it's amazing to watch people step up like this to what they can do. It's watching them actually do stuff and do stuff that is legitimately amazing.
Yeah,
and basically making the federal government look like a bunch of assholes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can definitely see why he was nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah. Speaking of the federal government, it's now time to start the proper show proper. And yes, we got to start. Government shutdown, as we said earlier, is still going on, which I think now makes it the longest government shutdown in American history.
Yep.
28 days now? Or
yep.
Than that? Yeah, enough that people have missed an entire month's pay.
Yep. So, yeah, and it is... nobody has any illusions on who this falls on. It's all Trump, and it's all the Republicans.
Yep.
Yeah, their fault. The House has passed funding bills...
7 times.
And... Mr. Turtle himself, Mitch McConnell, keeps denying bringing it up for vote.
And basically hiding, too, because...
Yeah.
I mean... You know,
AOC has been tweeting about that.
Yeah.
Her and some of the other House reps basically went on trips around D.C. to try and figure out where he's at.
Yeah.
That's funny. Sad, but funny.
Go look up on Twitter, hashtag where's Mitch... and see the videos and such that they did. Lots of good stuff there. And essentially, like, Mitch McConnell is doing that to shield Trump because they probably have the people to overturn a veto if they were to actually put it up for vote and, you know, approve it. Then Trump obviously denies it because it doesn't pay for the wall that already gets paid for, supposedly. Yeah. And then they could just veto it or undo the veto, override him, and that would make Trump look like a weakling, like he is.
Yep. Also, I have a sneaking suspicion that both Trump and Mitch are tied up in something that links both of them. Mm-hmm. And if one goes down, the other goes down with them.
I highly suspect Mitch McConnell's wife is involved.
Yeah. But,
and also, course, just Trump has put himself in his own predicament because he's made it all about the wall.
Yeah.
So he can't back down without looking like he's a failure.
But it's not happening.
No.
It isn't going to happen. So he is literally in a no-win situation.
And did you see, I think it was Laura Loomer,
mm-hmm,
broke into Nancy Pelosi's estate?
Yep.
So she climbed the fence.
What?
Yeah. Climbed over the fence, got into her yard, set up like a tent that said like immorality on it. Very poorly. In turn, like protesting that we need the wall while simultaneously showing that the wall isn't doing anything.
Just you went over a wall to get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I think she also said that she tried to get into Nancy Pelosi's house, tried to open her front door and realized it was locked. Which is like, you just admit to attempted break-in? Yeah. good luck with that.
Yeah. But,
you know,
remember, this is the same bitch who tried to, last year, who basically handcuffed herself to the door, put her headquarters wearing a yellow U patch. Because she's that big of an asshole.
Yeah.
But anyway,
Twitter account back.
Mm-hmm.
That was fully justified getting banned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But of course, the Drumpen Fuhrer himself is not resting on his laurels because proving just how petty he is around after. Okay, so a little bit of backstory.
Some other stuff, yeah.
Yeah, there's some backstory to this. First of all, you need to know, as far as the TSA is concerned, about 7% of agents are basically calling sick.
Yeah, frankly, sick out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're not getting paid.
Yeah, it's like, screw you. Why should I come in when I'm not getting paid?
And even then, like, the TSA is not really needed.
No.
Like, they don't really affect their ability to catch things.
They have a 95% failure rate.
Yeah, it's basically, the TSA is what, you know, they call security theater. They don't really do anything. They basically just exist.
And it's not required for these airports to have TSA.
Yeah.
Some of them hire private security.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, yeah, so if I was being called into work, if I wasn't getting paid, yeah, I'd tell them to suck it.
Yep.
I was like, well, you're going to not pay me? Oh, you already are.
And like I said,
they can't get fired like the air traffic controllers did.
In
Reagan's day, because they are not necessary to ensure human life.
Mm-hmm. So, but on top of that, of course, old Trump ain't resting on his laurels. He's still got to be a dick. So, okay, small bit of backstory needs to go with this. Recently, those of you might know, the State of the Union address is supposed to come up soon.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the shutdown, obviously that might cause some issues. So Pelosi basically pulled a power move on President Trump when she sent a letter saying that, however, due to the, you know, obviously as is constitutionally, you know, required, you'll be going to take a State of the Union address, so and so. However, due to the shutdown, we might move it somewhere else, which basically is just her disinviting him.
Yeah, by saying we should do this, you know, after the shutdown ends.
Yeah. But of course, Trump is such a massive asshole, he can't just let that go. So he sent out a letter, which of course becomes public record immediately after it's published, basically telling her, and this came out like 45 minutes before she was supposed to leave, canceling her trips to overseas NATO territory, specifically Afghanistan, to visit the troops. Which did two things. One, it basically made Trump like out like an even bigger douchebag because, you know, she's going to visit troops in Afghanistan in a war zone. Two, he just revealed that one of our representatives is going to Afghanistan in a war zone.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were planning to go commercially.
Yep.
As an alternate. But he outed all that stuff. So like, well, no, we can't do this now. Because they're putting their lives at risk as well as the troops.
Yep. Yeah.
Also, if you read the actual letter, you can tell by reading it that this is one of the few that Trump himself actually wrote.
Yeah, you read it and you're like, this has to be a joke. And you're like, wait, no, this is real.
Yeah.
Like, this is actually on his account, not somebody putting up some fake Photoshop thing.
Yeah.
God damn it. Well,
you know, my concern is that it might be a little bit more insidious than all of that. And, you know, Trump is going to want to actually stretch this out as long as it can go.
Yeah.
Because the worse it gets, the possibility is there that he could, after he gets the government started back up again, after shit has started to deteriorate, declare a state of emergency.
That's what he wants to do, so he could get his goddamn wall.
Yeah, well, he's got an announcement he's making tomorrow.
Yeah, actually, but he said, however, that that's basically just going to be him announcing a pathway to restarting the government. Mm. So it's probably not going to actually be the state of emergency.
Well, and who can overturn a proposed state of emergency? Because,
well, basically, if he does, then the House of Representatives and the Senate will immediately file suit, and the courts will side with them because it's a clear case of breaching the Constitution. So
yeah.
And
so again, even his one final out will be a loss for him. So,
and his tweet basically says, I'll be making a major announcement concerning the humanitarian crisis on our southern border, which doesn't exist, and the shutdown tomorrow at 3 p.m. live from the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Can we get off this ride?
I want to get off Mr. Bones' wild ride.
Yeah.
It's going to be another 20 months or so.
No, I think Mueller's going to bail us out right before the end.
Well,
fuck.
Bringing all that up, because it came out late last night, and this was the big bombshell, according to the investigative reporters at BuzzFeed News, that...
Can you say that sentence again, because that amuses me?
BuzzFeed News.
BuzzFeed News.
The reporters at BuzzFeed News.
This is the part of BuzzFeed that actually does real journalism.
Trump concealed details of his meetings with Putin from everybody, and we don't have it written down, but also he specifically told Michael Cohen to lie to Congress about the nature of his dealings in Moscow. That's where we've been looking. We've been worth looking for. Now, it needs to be said. It needs to be added.
Yes.
That earlier this afternoon, the Mueller Commission's team sent out a memo, which, be frank, he never does, that the particular details, some of the particular details in the BuzzFeed report are not necessarily accurate. Now, it's buried in lawyer speak, so we have no idea which parts of it are accurate. However, if it was the thing if this is what the thing that finally got Mueller and his team to actually speak out publicly,
if know any that one there's part of that is true, he is so fucked.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because, that is not only he instructed Cohen to lie to Congress, which not just a crime, it is a felony.
Yep.
And it's an impeachable offense. There it is. What we've been waiting for, and there it is.
And them releasing a memo, of course, indicates to me that they knew of this, and they've been working on this and everything else.
Yep.
I think they've got so much in the pot that we couldn't, well, maybe we could begin to imagine.
At this point, nothing really surprises me anymore.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, right?
And apparently the word going around is Mueller is going to start revealing all the stuff from his investigation next month. Of course, we've also gotten a lot of false alarms, too. So
yeah,
take that with a grain of salt.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah, we've gotten them so many times now that it's like, oh, okay. We'll just wait until something actually happens.
Yeah,
because I'm just getting so goddamn tired of all of this.
Holy crap.
I want something to actually happen.
Yeah.
I mean, we've basically been on a slow burn for the last 2 years.
Oh, it's not been all that slow, dude. It's been an awful ride.
Roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
Also, you got to find this especially funny. This is basically the first time that the president and all of his supporters are coming out to actually say that the Mueller report is fact.
Oh, yeah. That's irony.
That's just juicy irony.
Well, all right. So, next up, Representative Steve King. He's a racist piece of shit.
Word.
And that also, water is wet and the sky is blue.
Yeah.
Republicans are just finding out about this.
Yeah. Yep. And now this week he has been officially removed from all of his committee assignments.
So now not a representative.
Well, yeah, essentially.
To be honest, though, that's
under the bus.
To be honest, completely honest, though, apparently going over his record, like the one piece of legislation he ever actually managed to accomplish was like moving a post office. So he's basically been collecting a check this entire time.
Yeah.
A racist check.
Yeah. But yeah, like I said last week, this isn't anything that's fucking new. Steve King has been a racist piece of shit for a long time.
And this was news to Ben Shapiro.
Yeah. Because, again, this guy has been saying awful shit like this for years and years before the Trump campaign. Back when Obama was still president, he's been saying awful shit like
this.
Did
you see what he said today?
Well, amongst other things, he's trying to fundraise off of this bullshit. Did I mention that?
What?
Was he the guy that was getting rid of his Patreon? Deleting his Patreon, I think. He had like a 3-hour stream as he got drunk while doing it.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Which I didn't watch, but I heard other people that were watching it. They were very much like, this is as boring as it sounds.
Yeah. I said, the thing you have to know is Steve King has been doing this for years. The difference is that Steve King has been really good at skirting the boundary just enough so that he can give himself plausible deniability.
Yeah, and he gives now Republicans the cover to be like, see, we did something when he was racist. That one time.
Except, you know, they're not
Really.
Yeah,
we can't be racist. See, we smacked him on the wrist. But, also kind of want to go back to the Ben Shapiro thing. He was at a March for Life rally, a.k.a. an anti-abortion rally.
Yeah.
And he, I guess, rambled on about some shit, but also talked about baby Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
The whole baby Hitler thing, like, let's see, where's the truth is no pro-life person would kill baby Hitler. Baby Hitler was a baby.
I think, wow.
And that's why baby Hitler is trending on Twitter.
So, is he on meth?
I think he's just an idiot.
Well, he looks like Damien, so I'm pretty sure he's the Antichrist.
It's all for you, Damien.
He's dumb, Damien.
Also, he's sort of like the stupid person's idea of what a smart person is. Because Ben Shapiro is the master of something called the Gish Gallop, which is basically where you try to string and talk as fast as you can, no matter how much bullshit you say, because it makes it sound like you know stuff.
Yeah.
Very easy to figure out if you know how to identify it. And that's pretty much what he's built his career on. Anyway, moving on to some other assholes.
There's plenty of them.
Karen Pence, the current wife of Vice President Mike Pence.
Also known as Mother.
Yeah.
That's her alias.
Wow, that's creepy.
Super.
She's going to be teaching an art class at a private Christian Virginia school that bans any and all LGBTQ employees and kids.
And also has parents sign an agreement.
Yep, they have a moral clause.
Yeah, essentially, moral misconduct which violates the bona fide occupational qualifications for employees includes, but this is not limited to, such behaviors as the following: heterosexual activity outside of marriage, e.g. mm-hmm. premarital sex, cohabitation, extramarital sex, homosexual or lesbian sexual activity, polygamy, mm-hmm. transgender identity, and the other violation of the unique roles of male and female, sexual harassment, use or viewing of pornographic material or websites.
Yeah, I hate to tell you guys, but
good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck.
The parent agreement asks parents to cooperate in its biblical morality policy. Under this policy, parents are to acknowledge the sanctity of marriage as a strictly heterosexual practice. Families who condone, practice, or support, quote, sexual immorality, homosexual activity, or bisexual activity go against the principles of the school, per the document. And if you think this is just a coincidence, Karen Pence taught at this school 12 years while her husband was in Congress.
Yeah.
So she has a history at the school.
Yeah. So are they going to be required to install cameras in their bedroom to make sure nobody's getting Hummers? Because that's against the fucking Bible.
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
And I guess also Charlotte Pence attended the school. So, of course.
Yeah.
No wonder that whole family is fucked up.
Somehow they have a cool bunny.
And that's like the one saving grace.
No, they have a cool bunny because John Oliver got involved.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, though they kind of ruined it by doing the book tour at a Focus on the Family event. So now the bunny is tied to Focus on the Family.
Yep. How about you focus on your own goddamn family and leave all the rest of us out of your morality play?
You know, what's funny is all the people who live in Colorado Springs where, Focus on the Family is headquartered. It's not uncommon to see little bumper stickers on people's cars saying focus on your own goddamn family. So,
yep. I bet they get tired of that shit too.
God, can you imagine having to live in that fucking town?
Yeah.
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 Well, on to another asshole. This time, British Prime Minister Theresa May. So, as some of you have probably realized by now, the people of the UK are suffering heat big buyer's remorse once they realized what Brexit really entailed. And now, Theresa May has basically pissed away the last goodwill of her political career when she put forth one last Brexit deal that then got shut down. Not only bad, but so badly that she suffered the worst Commons defeat in the history of the British Parliament.
Oh, shit, balls.
Yeah, they lost by 230 votes. I think the worst one before that was it was under 200.
And it was in 1924.
Yeah, their two worst ones were in 1924.
Yep. And then after it failed, Mr. Jeremy Corbyn, current head of the opposition Labour Party, came up and put forth for a motion for a vote of no confidence, which they then decided to do the next day. And like I said earlier, she managed to survive it, but only by 10 votes. And those 10 votes came from a niche Ulster Unionist party from Northern Ireland that the Conservative Party is in coalition with.
Wow.
So she squeaked by, but Brexit didn't.
Nope. And now
I think she's got a new deal that she's going to be working on to have up on the 21st. Mm-hmm. Try again. Because they got until March 29th, or else they're essentially going off a cliff as far as the economy.
You know what the definition of insanity is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly what she's doing.
Doing the same thing time after time, but expecting a different result. By the way, it would probably be a good idea at this point if they had a referendum now. It's like, hey, you guys still want to do the Brexit thing?
Yeah.
Because, you know, they could solve all of this now. Yeah. And they just said, look, we're going to put out a referendum. It's going to be early next month. You can go out and vote on it. And if people say, no, we don't want to do a Brexit, we can go ahead and put the brakes on all of this.
And I see let's have Donald Tusk, who's the head of the EU, basically tweeted out, if a deal is impossible and no one wants a deal, then who will finally have the courage to say what the only positive solution is?
Because
it's basically they're coming to that point where it's like, do we just bail on this, or do we keep trying to find this so-called perfect deal? Seems like their best move is just say, yeah, we can't get this under control.
Yeah, no, nobody wants this. Let's just...
Yeah. I really want to see that, because there is nothing more that I would love to see than to see that fuckwad Nigel Farage find his life's work crumble right before his eyes and basically see UKIP just disintegrate.
Yeah.
Because for those who don't know, UKIP is basically Britain's sort of equivalent to what happened over here with the Tea Party and Trump, including all of the Russian mob money. But anyway.
And if you want to see some good stuff as far as the UK Parliament, look up some of the stuff John Oliver has highlighted over there.
Oh, yeah. See, the Parliament in the UK is how I wish government over here in the U.S. was.
Right? With teeth.
With teeth. And people don't fucking hold back either.
No. Yeah, I mean, we used to be pretty good. Bring out an old man with a cane.
Yeah, but that also kind of sort of helped start the Civil War.
Yeah.
Kind of did, yeah.
But yeah, I get your point. There was something else that happened before that, like in the late, like tail end of the 18th century. Where a couple of dudes got into a fight, and I think it was in Philadelphia. And so they decided to beat the hell out of each other with a pair of coal tongs. And one dude had coal tongs, the other had the spit.
Philly, huh?
Mm-hmm. Thank God batteries hadn't been invented yet. Anyway. Next up, Facebook.
Yes.
They got more issues.
Is this like the 30th scandal for them in the past 2 years?
Pretty much. And so basically, Reveal News, they brought forth their cybersecurity division brought forth a legal action against Facebook. And so a judge came forth and he unsealed a bunch of internal Facebook documents. And basically, you know, what it revealed is that, you know how people have been talking about how like online games, the monetization basically work on a Skinner box and they basically do everything they can to nickel and dime kids so that their parents won't find out. Apparently, the people at Facebook were worried about that, too. See here. Legal plaintiff in the case was a child who used his mother's credit card to pay $20 while playing a game on Facebook. The child in the case did not know the social media giant had stored his mom's payment information. As he continued to play the game, Ninja Saga, Facebook continued to charge his mom's credit card, racking up several $100s in just a few weeks. Child believed these purchases were being made with virtual currency and that his mother's credit card was not being charged for these purchases.
Okay, well, compared to all the other stuff the Facebook has been accused of, this is a little bit less
Insidious.
Well, it's basically it's basically not making it clear that they aren't, that they're charging you real money and not virtual currency.
That, and then there was a thing pointed out about a girl who said she was 13 and needed a refund for like $6,200.
Yep.
And they referred to her, of course, as a whale in the, you know, not like her size, but in as software people consider them to be, the ones who spend a disproportionate amount of money on a game.
Yeah.
Like,
I wish Dan Reb was here because he could help explain a lot of this stuff since he works in the industry.
He really could. But I think what it is the gist of it is that the vast majority of the money from a premium game or a, you know, pay like a microtransaction game comes from just a small set of people, a small set of the users. And those are the people who are considered whales because they just dump a ton of money into there. And Facebook, you know, they know how to track your stuff. They know how you operate. They know how to entice you and hook you. And so there was a memo between the person who got the refund request and her supervisor. And she's like, well, the girl looks 15. She says she's 13. Either way, under 18, it's a void contract. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, don't refund it. And it was very blasé, the whole, it was clearly a chat a chat conversation between the two of them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, no, we're just going to keep your mom $6,000.
Yeah.
So, and basically it's, we're not going to do anything because you're a kid and you have no teeth and we don't care that it's a void transaction because you're a kid. We're not going to do the right thing here.
Mm-hmm.
Also, who the fuck gives Facebook their credit card information?
Nope. Like, we've had a couple situations where I've bought an Xbox game and on accident, and Jacob's bought one on accident, and it's because I did store my payment thing without a password, and I need to undo that. But we try to be careful, but. Like, no, nothing else. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, I don't trust them with my personal information, much less financial information.
Right.
Yeah. Although, if you're, well, this wouldn't apply to kids, because, yeah, if you're like a developer, the way that you validate that you exist is by putting credit card information in.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, kids have to, you know, like I've had to do that for Jacob to enable parental controls on Nintendo before you've got to put in a valid credit card to do that or to disable it. I don't remember. It's been too long. I just remember that Nintendo had little charges.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Now to another story that will make you weep for humanity. Gillette. We're familiar with Gillette, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you have to shave, you are familiar with Gillette. And you probably buy Gillette products even if you don't know it, because they actually manufacture a lot of the store brand razors, believe it or not.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah. So Gillette has had a slogan that they've used for years. Basically called okay, I'm trying to remember what it is. It's
the best a man can get.
Best a man can get, yeah. Meant to be sort of the ideas like, if you want to be a man's man, you know, you need to shave with a Gillette razor. All right, whatever. And they've used that slogan to sort of, you know, overdo that man bullshit for years and years and years. And honestly, it wasn't really that big of an issue. But they decided recently to put out an ad, a commercial, doing something similar to what a lot of other major corporations are doing, which is putting out adverts with a social message. And this one was specifically meant to try and communicate the idea that, hey, it's not cool for men to beat their spouses or children. It's not cool to let kids have fights and just say boys will be boys. It's not cool to have dudes bullying each other. Yeah. You know, this isn't what a man does. We should not do these things. Also, buy our razors.
Yeah, that's sort of being accountable to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What we owe each other.
Yeah. And so, as you can probably guess,
the butt hurt.
And so much of the butt hurt.
You know, I've
mountains and mountains of absolutely roaring torrents of the butt hurt.
Well, I'm watching this thing, and I'm like, yeah, okay, that's normal. When we go camping, when we hang out with you know, our group of parenting friends, this is the fucking way we act. No, you don't do that. You're nice to your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been doing it since day fucking. What the fuck are the rest of these parents doing?
Here's the thing. I don't think any of these people have actually reproduced.
Yeah, they... Mm-hmm, yeah. No. Yeah.
I don't know. There's some of them, like Piers Morgan's one of the people shitting on this thing.
Well, he's super Piers mad. Morgan.
Yeah.
That's your first strike. But... Yeah, so the manosphere decided to stop him. He's like, oh my god, they want to kill the white male. You know, all this bullshit.
No.
Or like they're attacking men. It's like, no, they're attacking shitty men.
Yeah.
And the only people that get mad about this are those that have, that are shitty men. Yeah.
They're the ones that want to ridicule and all the other shit.
Yeah.
And let their kids beat the fuck out of each other and perpetuate a, I guess, a circle of violence. I don't know what.
Yeah. Also,
they want to act like parents that we don't fucking hang out with because we can't stand their kids.
Yeah.
By the way, I just want to point out, if you saw the ad for this on YouTube, you probably noticed the downvotes. And just remember, the thing about YouTube and their voting curriculum is they're not really good at dealing with bots.
Nope.
Yeah.
And I happen to know for a fact that a lot of these assholes use bots specifically to manipulate
Inflate.
Shit like this.
Yeah. Push their agenda.
150,000 likes, I could get you that for $5.
Yeah. Yep. They specifically do this because they have to hide the fact that, most people don't fucking like them.
Yeah.
So they have to sort of inflate their numbers.
Yep.
But yeah.
I guess it's there is one bright side to this in that when you have companies putting out social messages like this, it really shines a light on the people who they're actually going after.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They just kind of out themselves. So that's, you know, they can't hide anymore because they feel compelled to just make asses of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And there's too many people that don't know what toxic masculinity is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it means being a man or being masculine is bad. It's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
It's the societal values that we've had installed on us.
Suck it up. Be a man. You can't cry. Don't show your feelings. It's all the bullshit that I guess probably the greatest generation landed us with. Or maybe it came from the baby boomers. Who fucking knows? But, I mean, it's caused harm. It seriously has.
It has.
I look at how much our generation grew up with so much bullying and... horribleness, just absolute cruelty that, you know, I see a little less of that in the schools now, which is good.
Yeah. I saw really good tweets in support of this video. I forget who it was, but they said, men, if you're outraged over this, over the Gillette ad, you should smile more. You're prettier when you smile.
Yeah. Yep. I saw that one too.
Yeah.
Also, you know, the problem with bullshit like this is it actually hides the stuff that you maybe should get ticked off about, like the fact that you know, Gillette has been, you know, accused of taking part in price gouging schemes with retailers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
that would be a good thing to be a little bit outraged by.
Yeah.
Yes, the Gillette ad is problematic, but not because of that.
Yeah. anyways.
Mm-hmm. All right, next up. College football. The team who won the playoff, the Nationals, the Clemson, which is Clemson University, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as everybody knows, when you win college football, usually something like that, you get invited to the White House for a grand meal. But because of the government shutdown and also because of who's currently in the office, the president ended up serving them mountains of shitty fast food.
Yep. And is that not the ultimate symbol? I ripped this off from someone else of this presidency, serving fast food on a silver platter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like on their, the White House fine china, like, you can see like the silver platters full of sauces and shit. It's like, this is like the, it's like, I've never seen fast food presented so fancy.
Well, I mean, do you remember those old, remember the Burger King advert? Dude with the Burger King comes out and he serves something on a fancy silver platter.
Yeah, I guess
that is. There's also a tinge of rape going on there.
Well, that's more like, dear God, this is so creepy and off-putting.
Yeah.
And yet somehow that whole campaign was such a massive hit.
It was.
Yeah.
It was like
it worked.
The opposite of what you expected out of Burger King.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, I love fast food. I am not a snob in any shape or form when it comes to that. I love Wendy's. I love Burger King. I love McDonald's.
Yeah,
I love all that stuff.
I particularly included this ESPN article because there's some great quotes in here. So he said, we went off and we ordered American fast food paid for by me. Lots of hamburgers, lots of pizza. I think he'd like it better than anything we could give. Next quote here, we have some very large people that like eating, so I think we're going to have a little fun.
What kind of quote is that?
I like the end of this, said the president, a fast food lover himself. Yeah, he personally paid for this stuff, no real idea how much, but probably a few $100. But yeah, they had silver trays, held stacks of wrap burgers from Wendy's and box burgers from McDonald's, including Big Macs. Yeah, they had like fancy candles on the candelabras and stuff. It's like, what?
I mean, you just get out the fucking battery operated ones at this point. The fuck?
Yeah, they had the pizza with tongs. I saw a video of that, using the tongs to pick up pizza. Guys having trouble getting pieces out because they're kind of stuck together and tongs are not good for tearing things apart.
Well, that's partly because, let's face it, the fast food places, they're not really good with the wheel.
Right. Yeah, but still, it's the wrong tool for that shit. Just what the
well, I think that might have partly been a sanitary thing.
Mm, yeah, probably. But also it's fucking pizza.
Right.
That's true.
Let's see what else is in here. Trump also was talking about the Clemson quarterback. Oh, I want to be the agent for that tall, handsome quarterback. 6'7", they say great athlete, and he's accurate. That's nice.
Well, isn't that special?
Wow. That's almost gay.
Trump loves his strong men.
That is some stream of consciousness fucking talk right there, man.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Wow.
And, of course, people have done a lot of photoshopping of the picture of all the fast food.
Of course, because that's what the internet is.
Anyway. Yeah, instead of like supporting local restaurants, which Washington D.C. has great restaurants, like, hey, have some of them cater this thing. Because I think one of them talked about the Clemson won the title 2 years ago, which was also Trump, and they had like barbecue.
Yeah.
And, like, I saw one of the guys saying, yeah, that was some of the best barbecue I've ever had.
So, yeah, see, that actually makes sense. Because barbecue is good and it's work intensive.
And
you know, it's something you do for a celebration.
Yeah.
And the South loves its barbecue.
We do. We do.
I'm not going to diss the barbecue. That shit's good.
Yeah. All right. So next up, now for the less serious parts. First up, over in Wichita Falls, down in Texas, a woman has been banned from Walmart after drinking wine from a Pringles can in a riding cart.
Yeah, so there's not too much in the way of details or like explanation of why she's
Don't really need it. That just sort of
no
explains itself, doesn't it?
But you don't really know anything about sort of why this woman was doing this, other than just she could. But yeah,
right.
Yeah, so this was last Friday. Last Friday. Employees requested officers to ban a woman from the local Walmart store after she reportedly had been drinking wine from Pringles can for several hours while riding on an electric cart. The incident began shortly after 9 a.m. Friday when officers responded to a call to check on a suspicious person in the parking lot of Walmart. Officer Jeff Hughes, a Wichita Falls Police Department spokesperson, said police were told by dispatchers that they were looking for a woman wearing a blue jacket and black pants. Woman was reportedly riding on an electric shopping cart, more commonly used for people with physical limitations. Officer also told she was drinking wine from a Pringles can. Hughes says the reporting party said the suspect had been riding around the store's parking lot since 6:30 a.m. while drinking the alcoholic beverage. So she was on a joyride. I'm surprised it lasted 2.5 hours.
You're right.
That riding car seems like that should not be lasting that long. When officers arrived, they found the woman in a nearby restaurant, at which point she was notified that she had been barred from the Walmart location.
Wow.
Was she drinking it? Did she slip the bottle in an empty Pringles can? This is my question.
Well, okay. I don't think so, because Pringles
cans.
There's
a size thing there.
Yeah, you can't fit a wine bottle in a Pringles can.
Well, not a full-size wine bottle.
Actually, I don't think it actually... Okay, you want to know what I think? I don't think it was actually the kind of wine that comes in a bottle. I think it was from a box.
Yeah.
And she basically emptied it into a Pringles can.
Yeah. Unfortunately, this is now...
Because she was looking to get white girl wasted.
This has now introduced the idea of drinking wine from Pringles cans to the internet.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
No, I mean, it certainly doesn't taste good.
Well, I guess it depends on what kind of Pringles you had before.
Yeah, that's, I think, the thing.
I mean, okay, I guess technically you could wash the thing out, but, you know, there's seasoning residue and shit in there that sticks around.
You gotta use an air hose to blow it out.
Well, if you had the Thanksgiving dinner Pringles flavor, add wine to that. Probably
it's like
right.
What are the best combos?
We need a spreadsheet.
That is just the white trashiest of white trash right there. That is a Jeff Foxworthy punchline in human form.
I am seeing articles like thousands commit to drinking wine from a Pringles can in the North Austin parking lot. There's a Jezebel article about we drank wine from Pringles can in solidarity with the woman who was banned from Walmart. And so, one more thing for the internet to obsess about.
God, now I'm going to be looking at like freaking food blogs and shit, and it's like, what are the best pairings?
Pringles can.
Some motherfucker is going to do this for their wedding. You know, you can make your own wine bottle labels.
Yeah.
They're going to make it look like a fucking Pringles can.
Totally are.
All right. Well, next up, sports news.
Yeah, so I'll just introduce this. If you have not seen this, I suggest opening the link and just watching the video and tell me when you get to the point where you notice something's wrong. So this involves the new coach of the New York Jets, Adam Gase, who they introduced him at a press conference, and he became a meme very quickly.
Yep, and I can see why. He doesn't blink.
No.
Oh, my God.
At a certain point, you're like, is this guy human? Is he on drugs?
Be high. Like, is he... Because, I mean,
you're like, his eyelids disappeared.
Yeah, just into his head. And they're not coming back down.
I was like, this is something happened to this guy.
Wow, was that must have been a hell of a bit of cocaine. That's all
I watched. The first time I watched it, was like, this has to be doctored. No, it's people have pictures of him doing that stare.
That dude did a line, is what I'm going to say. Cause, I mean, maybe the dude was just nervous, you know, and he was trying to, you know, pretend that he had it all, you know, under control.
Yeah.
Because I'll admit that when I've been in high stress situations, I've done something similar.
Yeah, but he's also been a head coach before.
Yeah.
But not which in New York, but nobody, I tried to look up to see if anybody noticed anything like this when he was in Miami. It's like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
He looks like a normal person.
So either he snorted a line or he just dunked his head in the coffee pot and didn't come out for about 3 minutes.
Yeah, and I'm looking in the comments and people are posting Nick Cage comparison, so that's where he's at.
Yeah.
Or he's been replaced by a robot and the robot had a software glitch.
Mm-hmm.
Just
eyelids malfunctioning. Do not use eyelids.
Yeah.
Hello, humans.
Yeah.
Wow.
I am friend coach.
Oh, there's a QR code. I must read this.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, we got some entertainment news. First up, Jason Reitman. He's going to be directing a new film in the original Ghostbusters universe. You'll know what they put there, original.
Yeah. To
differentiate.
Set it apart from the remake that they did.
Yeah. Which was an unmitigated disaster, but not because of that.
Yeah, it was an unmitigated disaster because the script was just god awful.
Yeah,
not because of the actresses in it.
No.
Yeah, they did a pretty good job with what they had to work with.
Yeah.
But so basically, I guess are they going to be? So nobody really knows if they're going to be bringing back, you know, Dan Aykroyd or Bill Murray or Ernie Hudson.
No, you know. Not yet, but yeah, Jason Reitman is going to direct and co-write this.
Mm-hmm.
He's also going to work with his dad, who directed the originals. I think he's also producing it.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it. We already got a Ghostbusters sequel, and it was not good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I'm really pretty much sure that Ghostbusters was lightning in a bottle. You know,
it's really hard. It's also a piece of its time.
Yeah,
I don't know if that really works anymore.
And I also want to point this out too. Obviously, people are pointing out, you know, Harold Ramis died in 2014. Harold Ramis was also in Ghostbusters 2, and he still couldn't save that movie. So
yeah, we'll see. It might be decent. It might surprise us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just kind of, I don't know, maybe I'm just Ghostbustered out.
Yeah.
I guess Sony is also developing an animated Ghostbusters film that'll come out after this. I think they're tentatively dating this for summer 2020.
Yeah.
And start working on it later this, like around summertime. Mm. So yeah. We'll see how that goes.
Well, we already had the real Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which actually worked pretty well.
It did.
Anyway. We got some Netflix stuff. First off, we now know the newest show that's going to be on Netflix from the showrunner of The Office and Steve Carell called Space Force.
And it's about, you remember last summer when Donald Trump announced the 6th major division of the United States Armed Forces?
Yep.
That's what this one's about.
That's awesome.
The teaser trailer they show here on June 18th, 2018, the federal government announced the creation of the 6th major division of the United States Armed Forces. The goal of the new branch is to, quote, defend satellites from attack and, quote, perform other space-related tasks or something.
Or something.
This is a story of the men and women who have to figure it out. And...
This is going to be great.
Yeah, Greg Daniels and Steve Carell they created this, and Steve Carell is going to be the starring actor. That's about all we know. And it's supposed to be coming out sometime soon, so over the next few months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Means they probably started working on it quite a while back.
Yeah. Mm.
All right.
With Netflix, it's one of those things where it just shows up. They announce it, and then a month or two later, it shows up.
Mm. All right. Also in Netflix news, they recently acquired the rights for the movie adaptation of The Devil All the Time. You know, it's going to star Bill Skarsgård, Eliza Scanlon. Yeah.
Has Tom Holland. Who else? Chris Evans. Mia Wasikowska. Robert Pattinson. And Gabriel Ebert. Yeah. See, Antonio Campos is directing and co-writing this. Who mm-hmm. wrote the original book. Jake Gyllenhaal and Reva Marker are producing this through their Nine Stories banner. Yeah, seems like it could be pretty good. They got a lot of good talent on there. They got Spider-Man and Captain America in there.
Yep.
All right. And a weird thing is they're going to be filming in Alabama starting next month, and this is set in Ohio.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, it's set in a really backwoods section of Ohio.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, but Ohio actually has those.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, according to the book, it's not someplace you'd want to want to live in, so why would they?
I don't know. Accuracy?
Yeah.
No. And furthermore, one more bit of Netflix news. They're bringing back Unsolved Mysteries.
Hell yeah.
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah, those. Let's see. It ran from 1987 to 2010, about 500 episodes. It's being refreshed by Stranger Things executive producer Sean Levy and his company, along with Netflix. He's going to oversee the revamp in association with Cosgrove Muir Productions, who produced the original show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And. They're going to run the show. The executive producers.
Robert Stack going to be back?
I think it's going to be somebody new.
Yeah, I don't think he is still with us.
Oh, that's right.
Let's Google this. He died 2003.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, and yet the show still went into 2010, so apparently they got...
Yeah.
Yeah, they had someone else doing it.
Yeah, he was born in 1919. Yeah. So he's quite a bit old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a 12-episode show. I'll use reenactments in a documentary format to provide profile real-life mysteries and unsolved crimes, lost love cases involving missing persons and unexplained paranormal events. Each episode will focus on one mystery. Yeah, I assume with the reach that this has, they'll probably get actual good actors in this.
Yeah.
Plenty of people that will want to be in this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I guess they had the original run on NBC from 1987 to 97.
Mm-hmm.
CBS picked it up for 2 years after it was canceled. Lifetime aired a number of new episodes in 2001 and 2002. Spike also picked it up between 2008 and 2010, mm-hmm. with Dennis Farina replacing Stack following his death in 2003.
I'm looking forward to this, and yeah, my mom's going to go nuts when I tell her.
Mm-hmm.
She loves this stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well. All right, next up for a piece of news I was especially happy with, Rooster Teeth and the people who brought you Ruby have put forth the trailer for their newest mecha anime. I don't know if you can really call it an anime because it's you know what? I'm not even going to get onto that technicality bullshit.
Yeah.
Their new mecha show, Genlock, and it looks awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and they got some really good talent on this voice cast. They got Michael B. Jordan. Mm-hmm. Dakota Fanning, Maisie Williams, and David Tennant.
Uh-huh.
Which is a lot higher than what their usual stuff has had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And
yeah, they got, Rooster Teeth has a lot more reputation now, so you can get these.
And Ruby was a huge hit for them.
Oh, yeah. Now, if only they could, throw aside the bullshit and let Yang and Blake show their love for each other. It's just not fair.
And yeah, it looks pretty good.
Oh yeah, it does.
And yeah, it's only going to be on Rooster Teeth's site, so you have to subscribe to them.
Yep.
For that. It's not that expensive, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it's like probably just wait for the Blu-rays inevitably come out.
Yeah. Well, at least the voice acting will definitely be better than, you know, what Ruby's was for the first season.
Yeah.
They're it on, took like, them a while to get into now? The... Yeah, they're on season 5 now.
And this debuts on January 26th, so about a week from now.
Mm-hmm.
Next weekend.
That's right. All right. Well.
Trailers.
Trailers. We got some more. We got the new trailer for Spider-Man Far From Home, in which we finally got a look at Mysterio, who, of course, is being played by Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. So what is Mysterio's deal? What is he?
All I ever knew him as the silly guy with the weird bulb on his head.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out what the hell Mysterio is. Yeah. And I'm sure that...
All I know is... Yeah, just saying, all I know is these. This trailer is... I don't know, Sony's doing really good work with their Spider-Man properties. It's like, of all the Marvel properties that they do have, this is the one that they actually seem to be investing quite a bit in.
Yeah.
And it seems to be paying off.
Yep. I see Nick Fury get involved.
Yep.
As he tranks his buddy.
Mm-hmm. Like, is he going to be okay? He's like, hey, you might want to turn him over so he doesn't strangle on his own tongue. But...
Yeah. there's a new suit involved, which has the like the webbed wings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
On them, armpit wings.
Yeah.
There's like these weird elemental dudes, water monsters, and then Mysterio's helping him fight them.
Yep. Or maybe not. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. No.
And Jake Gyllenhaal shows up. And there's a good bit where it's like, oh, he's like Iron Man meets Thor. I do like the bit at the end, like he's like, I really like Spider-Man. He has a dope suit and he protects the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. What's up, you know, what's up, dickwad? So he says to Peter Parker.
Yeah. So the first Spider-Man movie was Homecoming, and now he's Far From Home. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Well, he's in Europe, so.
Yeah. So what's the third one going to be called? Way Out in the Boonies?
Yeah, probably.
Space Spider-Man. Based on what happened in Infinity War.
Yeah. In time, I don't know. Mm. Or do you wait for the fourth movie to do time travel?
Who knows? Well. Anyway, and finally, our last story for the night, we also got our first look at John Wick Chapter 3.
Yeah.
And it's exactly what you think it's going to be.
And he throws a gun at a guy's head.
Uh-huh.
An assault rifle.
Yep.
He shoots a guy from a horse, like point blank in the head. There's some good shit here.
Yeah, it's, you know, John Wick is basically one of those movies that you watch and you really don't want to think too hard about what you're watching.
Yeah.
Because it makes no goddamn sense if you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John Wick is really kind of a throwback to like old 80s action movies. It's just that it's been kind of updated to modern sensibilities. So,
yeah,
it's a
or levels of ridiculousness.
It's essentially a stuntman's movie.
Yeah,
which I believe, like the original, was written by a couple guys that did stunts. Stunt work.
It's good. It looks fun. I'm into
it.
Yep. And so he's got basically a big bounty on his head, and so everybody's coming after him.
Yep.
I think they make the joke like, it's pretty much even odds. and that's gonna be out May 17th.
Yep.
So a few months from now.
Right.
Yeah, right at the beginning of the summer.
Mm-hmm. And I guess Spider-Man is July 5th.
Yeah. Right in the middle of the summer.
Yep.
All right. Well, I do believe we got ourselves a show, folks.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you've got a question, comment, something you want us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got it linked for you in the show notes. Also, on top of iTunes, you can catch our little piece of unscripted shenanigans at Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, pretty much any place where podcasts like ours can be downloaded and enjoyed for your ear holes. So, with that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Bo DiNolfo, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Elogi, good night.